Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode. What episode is it, John?
Episode eight. Of the Push Play Podcast.
Yeah.
Coming to you live from Push Play Studios in my house.
The good old Push Play Studios. Hey, you know, get the job done.
Oh, yeah. I'm your host, John.
And I'm Romani.
And this is the Push Play Podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Episode eight, man.
Yeah.
Episode eight. It's crazy. All right, what's our topic, man? What are we doing, Armani?
Well, I think today we're diving into the aspects of communication.
Communication.
Yeah.
Communication. Stimulation.
For your hydration.
Emancipation for your hydration.
Cucumbas.
Oh, man. Communication, man. That's a big one, man.
Yeah.
That's a big one. It butterflies beautifully into all of the different elements that we've been speaking of, you know, within our episodes of Push Play Podcast.
Yeah.
Especially with us as a people going out and trying to articulate ourselves and our thoughts and still, you know, being able to receive that whole communication style from somebody else, you know.
Yeah.
We're in times right now, it's unprecedented times, you know, with COVID-19, and we have, you know, all the racial unrest of, you know, racial inequality that we're experiencing in America, we've been experiencing here in America.
Yeah.
And to be able to communicate that, how do we communicate our thoughts and feelings toward that? And then you add on that second, you know, that other layer of having to go back to work. You know, some of us are going back to work and we're having to communicate, you know, all the time. You know, but how do we do it effectively?
Right.
You know, a lot of us want to say that, oh, yeah, you know, I'm a great communicator. Everybody has that idea in their head. Not one person is going to tell you that they're a bad communicator.
Yeah.
Guess what? We're all horrible communicators.
Yeah.
Horrible communicators.
Yeah.
You know, so how do we communicate effectively? You know, and I think that's one of the big things that we really have to take a step back and think, you know, what can I do to, A, effectively communicate, but B, effectively listen.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of people, you know, they associate communication with just talking and speaking, but they don't really look at the other aspect of that, which is the listening portion.
Yeah.
You know, and I think with this episode, we can probably dive into that a whole lot more and kind of, you know, look at these little baby aspects of how communication really needs to happen.
I like it because communication is that balance between giving and taking.
Yeah, we about to communicate tonight, baby.
Information.
Okay, yeah.
The process of, yeah, so getting that across and everything. I think it's more so people put too much of a focus on giving information. And I know, ironically, we're doing that with the podcast.
Yeah, that's all we're doing. We're not listening to you guys. We don't care what you guys have to say. You need to listen to us. We didn't turn you on. You turned us on.
Oh, my gosh. We weren't the ones that pushed play. I mean, we did push play, but then you were the one
we
that
pushed record. That's what we did.
We pushed record. Yeah, you are right. But no, it's one of the greatest components and everything that is, for the most part, the missing ingredient to so many conversations.
Right.
Is just the aspect of listening. And
right.
That means active listening, not so much of just waiting for your turn.
To talk. Yeah.
To talk. Right. But also just absorbing that information, that input somebody is giving is crucial.
It is crucial. I mean, because you got to look at how communication is just foundationalized.
Yeah.
You know, you have a sender, you have a receiver, right? You have, I'm speaking, you're listening to what it is.
Yeah.
You know, the message that I'm giving you. I'm trying to turn what I'm thinking into words to send it over to you.
Yeah.
And you're taking those words and you're breaking them apart into your mind to understand what the message is that I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And I'm sending it to you through a certain medium, whether that's, you know, text message, email, phone call, face to face, you know, whatever it is. And it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's almost like electrical circuitry.
Right.
And as soon as one of those processes, one of those links in that chain get broken or distorted, communication isn't happening anymore.
Right.
And the one chain that constantly gets broken is the receiving portion, because we don't want to listen. We want to hear what you're saying, but we're not listening to what people are saying, and we're not active listening. We're not sitting there. We're not trying to decode what it is that you're saying. We're trying to encode what our reply is going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back to your point of we're already trying to think about what we're going to say while you're talking. I don't care what you're saying, really. I'm just trying to come up with a retort. I'm just trying to come up with something to bring back to the table that has nothing to do with what's going on, versus actually listening and trying to understand, be empathetic toward the message that you're giving me, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you have something that's already present in your mind on what it is that you're going to say, and you're talking to somebody, mm-hmm. it's almost like get ready for a bad melody in terms of communication, because the thing that you've probably – that you already have in your mind – probably won't be the best dialogue option to say, because that person is probably not going to say something that will be suitable for that answer that you have in your mind. It's kind of like, you know, when if you're upset or whatever, mm-hmm. and then you have like those arguments in your head, like, oh man, you know, they're doing this, blah, 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 you know, and then I'm going to say this. Those
arguments that you have with yourself in the shower.
Yeah, right. So you kind of have that whole back and forth dialogue, but how many times does that actually come true in life? How many times does that actually manifest for where you're like, oh man, they actually said the same thing I said, you know, that I just imagined when I was in the shower, you know? It's like, it doesn't really happen like that. And the thing is, it's like I was saying, it creates a bad melody in our song of conversation with mm-hmm. each other, because I'm not being in the present moment with, you know, the person. So I'm holding on to information within my mind. Mm-hmm. So what that means is I can't necessarily process the information or the stuff that you're saying, because I'm holding on to my thoughts.
Correct.
I'm not actively absorbing what it is that you're saying.
Right.
It's like, I think we had kind of like a little joke or whatever back in our previous episode about having a full hard drive.
Oh, just yeah. Like you gotta just dump it all. Yeah. And that's what part of our organizational episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
But no, so, but that's exactly what it is.
Same deal.
And communication is so important, because it plays such a vital role in our everyday lives, whether it be at work, at home, with ourselves even, in our social environments. I mean, it's everything. Communication is everything. And we live in a world filled with miscommunication. And that world of miscommunication leads to so many different byproducts of our lives. You know, we get frustrated, you know, to not understand what's going on, or to have somebody not fulfill an expectation that you've already told them. It's frustrating.
Right.
You know, and it's so hard trying to convey those messages, but we get so caught up on the actual message, but we don't get caught up in the meaning behind the message.
Right.
And I, that kind of plays in beautifully with the whole, the melody of the song of conversation.
Yeah.
You know, how does all this get constructed together, so that way we receive it in a way where we understand it, you know, we're empathetic with it, and we get what that sender was trying to say.
Right.
And honestly, the biggest thing that we can do as receivers is ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, it's just what is it? You know, if you ask a million questions to try to understand what the sender's trying to tell you, you're probably going to get a better understanding of A, where this person is coming from, and B, what they are trying to articulate to you. So, right. You know, active listening is huge.
It is. Otherwise, you're just tone deaf.
Tone deaf.
So essentially, when people kind of go into the conversation, they believe that they have to have a planned speech, or they have to have a game plan in mind. And they're afraid to really just kind of, you know, empty your mind and just kind of, hey, whatever, however the conversation goes, I'm just going to flow with it.
Right.
And I feel as if having a clear mind and actually just actively engaging with that person just makes the conversation go way, way much more smoothly.
Right.
Because you, again, you're not holding on to any...
It's almost like a pre-recorded message that you're developing in your mind.
Exactly. I was going to say it's like a script.
You're just waiting for that opportunity to press play.
Right.
And let that pre-recorded message just kind of sound
right. You're waiting for your line. Yeah. You're waiting for your cue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeVille.
what movie is that from?
I don't know. I heard that before.
Thank you for your honesty.
I don't know where that's from.
but yeah, you're waiting for your cue, and it could get disheartening if you never really get to say your line.
Well,
and it does. That's not how the conversation should actually go in that manner. There's a good quote and everything that I always go by and kind of live by. Mm-hmm. Is it's by kind of one of my favorite TV shows and stuff. It's called Mr. Robot.
Okay.
Like a hacker.
Okay.
And all that. But there's a good quote in there where it's just like, the quieter you become, the more you're able to hear.
See, and that quote falls in line with the quote that I kind of live by, which is shut up and listen.
I like that. It's the same thing, right? Same flavor on that, you know.
Yeah.
So.
But that's it. I mean, to be able to be quiet and listen, it's communication isn't all about words.
Right.
Right. It's not all about, somebody saying something and you saying something right back. It's not supposed to be rapid fire a lot of the time. You have to look at, what's the message? Is it this person venting? Is this person looking for a solution? Or is this person really just trying to have dialogue to work through something and figure something out? And you have to understand, what kind of conversation is this taking place? What are we doing here?
Right.
And if the person just wants to vent, don't talk. Just listen. Let them vent.
Yeah.
And don't be Mr. One-Upper. Don't be Mr. Me Too, where it's like, oh, man, you're going through a bad breakup. Oh, man, well, guess what? When I was 14.
Yeah, because.
First off, nobody care about your breakup when you were 14 and you couldn't go to the roller skating rink. Nobody care about that. Nobody cares about that.
Oh, man, I can't tell you
hit it, Johnny.
How.
Huh?
For roll bounce? Yeah, for roll bounce.
Hit it, Johnny.
Hit it, Johnny. No, I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. Those three things are extremely, extremely important. So, guys, please, if there's anything to really take away from this episode, it's when you're communicating with somebody or if somebody's trying to communicate with you, sit back and ask yourself, okay, does this person need a distraction? Do they need a solution?
Mm-hmm.
Or do they just want to vent?
Right.
And you could do this. You can ask them. Definitely you can. But for the most part, things going to go naturally, much more smoothly if you go ahead and kind of sit back, kind of feel the conversation,
right,
or feel the vibe. And then you could kind of
feel the rhythm. Feel the vibe. Come on, guys. It's bobsled time.
What is this?
From Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings. I felt it. I've only seen fragments of that movie, but something. I mean, I don't know. There's only so many Jamaican references you can make, and then I'm like, oh, that's Cool Runnings.
It's Cool Runnings, baby.
Yeah, classic. but yeah, those three things definitely, and they do help out. And I agree with you on that when you're saying when somebody is talking, they usually don't want a solution.
Right.
If people want a solution, they're generally going to ask you. They're going to be like, man, I don't know what it is I need to do. I'm kind of hung up on this problem, or they're going to talk to you.
You'll get the gist of what the person that you're speaking to is really trying to get out of the conversation.
Right.
And it just goes back to knowing your audience, knowing who you're talking to or speaking with, and being able to read that person. I mean, you have to be able to have those people skills and read people, and active listening. You want to put yourself not in a sympathetic place. You don't want to feel sorry for people because
That turns into pity.
Well, you not only that, but you're already kind of making up your mind about how you want to console them.
Right.
Right. Versus being empathetic, where you're trying to put yourself in their shoes and look at things from their lens to better understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
You know, and active listening really plays a role with that, because now you are trying to decode the message the way they encoded it. Right.
I like that.
And being able to do that helps bring up questions inside of you that you want to ask to kind of gain some clarity. But it also gives you the opportunity to really feel what this person is trying to tell you. And you're taking it in and you're listening to it and you're hearing it and you're trying to understand it. And the questions that come from it are questions that are going to lead to more understanding till that message becomes loud and clear.
Right.
Right. And so being able to active listen, I mean, there's the three A's that go with it. You know, it's attitude, it's attention, and it's adjustment. You know, and a lot of the time, you know, our attitude, the way we carry ourselves during the conversation, if it's face to face, or the way we type things, you know, whether it's a period at the end of the sentence or an exclamation or all caps, or, you know, our attitude really defines how a conversation is going to go, you know.
And how it's going to be interpreted.
Exactly. You know? Because attitude is literally your emotion acted out.
Yeah.
And so if you're in a good mood, your attitude's going to, you know, you're going to have good mannerisms. You're going to be happy and jolly. Ha ha ha. But right. You're going to be jiggling, yeah, shaking it. Hey, what's up? but if you're not, if you're in a bad mood, people are going to see it on your face.
Yeah.
And so it might scare somebody off from, you know, having that full blown conversation with
also,
you.
If that person is in a bad mood, they can interpret,
yep,
you know, your words as something else.
Because they're gonna read or hear the words with the emotional lens that they are carrying.
I was just about to say that. I was gonna what lens are they looking through?
Exactly. And so attitude plays a huge role in it. And so you want to have the appropriate attitude, you know, and usually it should be neutral. Should be a neutral attitude that we carry when we're having conversations. And then organically, it's going to, you know, the conversation is going to tell you what kind of attitude needs to happen.
Right.
Right. It's the applicable attitude.
Yeah.
The other one is attention. You know, you're talking to somebody, you're having a conversation with somebody, give them the attention that they deserve. You know, all too many times we're having half-baked conversations with somebody and we're just playing on our phone the whole time.
Yeah.
We're just giving them a series of, oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. And it's dismissive. It's disrespectful. You know, downright disrespectful. Put your phone down. I mean, you ain't that important. Ain't nobody talking to you. Your phone is dry.
You haven't gotten a text message in weeks.
Yeah, no friend notifications. Uh-huh.
Got no friends. The only notification you're getting is from your iCloud account. And the only thing you need and your storage the only thing is you need at max capacity.
The only thing you need to follow is instructions. but I mean, you know, attention plays a huge role. I mean, whether it be a distraction on, you know, with your phone or just people around you, you know, you have to put yourself in a setting where you can give the person that you're having that conversation with the proper attention that conversation deserves.
Right.
And then there's adjustment. You know, an adjustment really is a play on both of those. You have to adjust yourself so that way you're not so rigid. You know, like you were saying earlier, like you're just waiting for your one line to pop up. Being a listener means being able to be fluid, being able to take in what those messages are and adjusting accordingly.
Yeah.
That conversation can start off like a venting session and then morph into an advice session.
Oh, yeah.
And then morph into a distraction session where you know, it goes the whole metamorphosis of an emotional spectrum.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to adjust accordingly. But that's what active listening does, is because now you can see those cues on how you need to, you know, judge.
How you need to flow and everything.
Exactly.
Like what Bruce Lee said, flow like water.
Why can't I flow like Dylon? Because he spits hot fire.
Well, Dylon had a great way with word.
Yeah, he was a wordsmith. He wasn't a Will Smith. He was a wordsmith.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, being able to adjust, you know, and listen to the conversation, how it's going down, you know.
Yeah.
Being able to listen will cue you on how you need to respond toward certain conversations.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I like that. Because I think the other component and everything to that, definitely, for listening, it's like, okay, how do I snap into listening? It's
right.
Because it can be hard, especially if you
takes a lot of energy.
It does.
Takes a lot of energy.
Because if you're the type of person where this is, you know, foreign territory, or this is a habit that you have to build, because you're just kind of used to going back to your phone, you know, watching TV, getting distracted easily. This is something that you're going to have to cultivate over time. And
episode 2, Building Habits.
Shout out. Yeah.
Shout out episode 2.
Yeah, check that out if you guys haven't already. So switching to that mindset, it's gonna take a lot of work.
But it does take a lot of work.
Once you kind of get that situated, then you're kind of set. Like, you could kind of adapt, dance to any tune the conversation may be singing.
Right.
And in doing so, you're just gonna start building that rapport with people.
Right.
And you're gonna see like an improvement in your friendships for sure.
And you know like you were bringing up with friendships, you know, even with your relationships, whether it be, you know, your boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, or your wife, husband, whoever.
Yeah.
You know, communication is such a vital role in that aspect. And you know, you can be at work all day and you can be talking to people, and maybe you're in a position of management, and people are telling you, you never hear the good stuff. You always hear the bad stuff, right? You're the problem solver. You're the sounding off board to take in all this. And you're trying to be an active listener. You're trying to, you know, be in tune with the people you work with. It's so draining emotionally, and your energy just goes away.
Yeah.
And then you go home and you ask her, well, how's your day? And she might be talking about something that in your world might not be big at all. And so you're just, you go do something. And 20 minutes later, you come back to your wife. Oh, so how was your day? Ask her the same question. She's probably looking at you like, dude, you're not giving me the attention I deserve.
Right.
And we have to be mindful of that. And that goes back to the empathetic portion of it, where communication, it's a 24/7 thing, man. You know, you can't just turn it on and off. You know, depending on your audience, you know, if especially with your loved ones,
right?
You know, and I think it's a bigger role there, because that's where you have so much more of an investment.
Yeah.
You know, your career is one thing. You know, I totally respect it, because, you know, even in my line of work, you know, communication, we have to have a high level of communication in order to effectively get things done. But then when we get home, you know, that's the greater of the two. And the home life, your relationships with people, to be able to still give them the attention and the energy that those conversations deserve. You know, I need, what if like my wife was going through something, and maybe this was like the tipping point, you know, the tip of the iceberg of the conversation. And maybe she just wanted to vent to me real quick, so that way we can get into a deeper conversation, you know. But because I'm so drained, I automatically dismissed her. I'm not being an active listener. I'm not trying to communicate. I'm not trying to have these tough conversations that happen in marriage. You know, I'm just trying to go and do my thing. But that's not cool, you know. And to be able to communicate, you know, it's such a vital role. A lot of people get divorced, you know, or they end their relationships with a lot of people because communication is just bad.
Yeah.
Because it's bad communication.
Either poor or non-existent.
Exactly. But a lot of the times, communication is there.
Yeah.
But it's how we communicate that's the big issue. And it's not so much what we're saying, it's how we're saying it and how we're receiving it.
Right.
And back and forth, back and forth. Yeah. It's the whole volleyball notion of the conversation, where everybody's just trying to hit the ball back over the net, but nobody's keeping score.
Right.
And so you have to be able to understand what's going on and what's happening and what's being said to know what is going on. I mean, communication is such a huge thing, man.
It is. I'd say communication is up there in terms of one of the most important components in a relationship, for any relationship, really, alongside trust.
Right.
Trust, of course, it's its own other topic and everything that we get into later. But communication is definitely one of the number one things that I want to focus on, and I want to constantly improve
I like that. Communication is one of those things you have to constantly improve on.
Yeah. Active listening, like we're saying, extremely important and everything. Because if you don't actively listen, if you don't really take in how a person's feeling, not just how they are in general and everything, but on a day-to-day basis. Because, for example, if you know somebody, one of your friends, you may say, oh yeah, that's so-and-so. He's the funny guy. Oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, you know, he's kind of quiet or whatever. Right. Oh yeah, that's so-and-so. He's kind of a hothead.
Yeah.
And all that. It's kind of like you already have these preconceived notions of who your friends are. So you are seeing them through that lens. And what makes it makes things difficult, because when you try to communicate with them, that's how you know your friends to be.
Yeah.
And in doing so, you miss all the small little, you know, nuances, the little details and everything of the different shades of their personality. Yeah. Because you're seeing them only through one shade.
Right.
And I think that's really important, because if you see that one person in your friend group, yeah, he's really funny or whatever, or yeah, she's really quiet, then you miss out on all those little times where the quiet girl, you know, she really stood up for herself, or she cracked a joke for once or something, you know, right. Like all those little things. And like I was saying, you start to see your friends through many different shades.
Right.
Not just through one color.
How many shades? Like 50 of them? And are they gray? Okay.
I'm going to let you just sit with that joke. Everyone judge him right now.
I feel all these judging eyes just staring at me right now through the radio. I don't like this.
I thought that was really funny, and I was just like, oh my god.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, communication is such a huge aspect in, honestly, every day of our lives, every aspect of our lives. And you can scale it up even now to where we're at with social inequalities of race and the message that's being communicated and how it's being received. You know, and I've seen a lot, you know, especially with like sports and you know, people, celebrities that have a certain platform where they're able to communicate, you know, their reception toward what's going on with the inequalities in America, you know, in regards to race. But there's still a majority of people that just, they don't want to listen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't want to be empathetic and I feel like some people are listening and they're being too sympathetic. Where it's really not about feeling sorry for, but it's about looking through that same lens to try to gain what the understanding is and what the message really is. And communication is such a huge portion in that, you know, and in a larger scale, are we really listening to that message? Are we really trying to understand what that message is? Honestly, we're starting to. I think we're starting to, but we're still at like the very, very beginning of it all, you know, and I really hope that, you know, as a society, we can get to that point where we can actively listen, you know, to the voices that really need us to listen.
Right.
And, you know, it's just one of those things, man. You know, with communication too, we have to really be be careful of how we communicate certain news. You know, I think that's another thing that a lot of people we fail to understand what the message really is because we haven't encoded it correctly in our mind. And so we only see it through our lens, right? And sometimes the news for us might be harsh or it might be uncomfortable, but the other person might take it as devastating. You know, it's like if you're in a management role and you need to let somebody go.
Okay.
In your mind, you're probably looking at it more so of, you know, this, it's the business. This is kind of what needs to happen. You know, this is what the industry is calling for. We really don't have the financial resources to carry this many workforce or this much workforce. So we need to let people go. But to think about it and have that conversation with somebody, you don't want to have that conversation with somebody over the phone. you're not going to text somebody, hey, guess what? You're fired. You know, or, right. you know, or you don't want to call that person and let them, you know, something like that needs to happen face to face.
Yeah.
Right. And it's how we say and how we do it. You know, there's certain environments in which we want to have certain conversations. And, you know, when you're giving somebody bad news like that, you know, sometimes you don't want to just have them come to your office, or you don't want to, you know, meet them on your land or your territory. You know, sometimes you got to go to them to help them feel more comfortable with it, because then they'll be more receptive toward the message that you're trying to communicate.
Yeah, if they go to your office, it's like the spider's lair.
Oh, dude, it's like defense mechanisms up 101.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going in guns blazing.
Shoot, yeah. Like, man, we're going to need a bigger boat. You're going to need another job.
Man, hey, how much did you spend on Christmas this year? Take it all back because you're fired.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What did you get your wife for her birthday? Take it back because you're fired.
But it's our anniversary.
How much money you got in the bank? Keep it there because you're fired.
Communicate this. You're fired.
I'm going to need you to communicate to your mortgage lender and let them know you got fired.
Man, that's...
That's kind of harsh.
That is. That is. That's... Oh, man. That's something to really just... Whew.
One of the worst experiences I ever had was firing people, letting people go. Because it's so uncomfortable. What do you tell somebody? You know, how do you lead up to that conversation? And I've done it so many times, but it's still so uncomfortable for me. It's an uncomfortable conversation to have, to tell somebody that they don't got a job anymore. And so, you know, I always go through like this, oh, man, like pacing around and thinking, okay, how do I want to bring this up? How do I want to frame this? How do I want to say this? How do I want to let this person know that it, you know, it's not personal, it's business, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I always get so worried about it, because the first time I had to do it, it was such a horrible experience. So this was probably about 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Okay.
And I was new to this job, and my boss was like, hey, you know, we got such and such working for us. I'm going to need you to lay him off. And at first I thought, man, heck yeah, that's cool, because, you know, I'm a boss now and all this. And as soon as I got the order to do it and I like soaked it in, man, I felt so nervous, because then it's like, dang, man, I'm going to take food off this man's plate. You know, you start thinking about all those byproducts of what's going to happen, you know, once I let this guy go. And
yeah,
I was tripping off of it. So finally, you know, the day came where I had to lay him off. I had his check, and, you know, he was in the middle of work and I had to go interrupt his work. And he was coordinating with this other guy that doesn't work for us. And I asked the guy, I was like, hey, you mind if I talk to you for a second? He's like, yeah. So we take a step off to the side, and I'm going through the spiel about, you know, if, you know, things are getting slow, I'm going to have to, you know, we're looking at cutting back. And I look over to my right, and that guy that he was talking to is still standing there in the conversation talking to us. And I'm looking at him like, dude, go away. Like, this is an A-B conversation. See your way on out of here. And I like kind of gave him that look, and he looked at me and smiled and looked at the other guy like, what's next? And so, so I'm like going through this whole like, I got to let you go speech. And as soon as I get done, the guy shakes the other guy's hand, goes, hey, man, good luck out there. And I'm looking at homeboy. I'm like, bro, this was so bad.
Like, what?
Dude, it was horrible. It was, man. It was horrible. And ever since then, I've had such a high anxiety when it comes to that, because I always go back and remember that.
Yeah.
And it's just a hard thing to have to communicate. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, good news, bad news, and different news. We have to be able to put ourselves in a position to look at things from the other person's perspective.
Yeah.
So that way we could communicate something that they can understand, but yet it's effective.
Right.
So, but yeah, I thought that's, man, that story was, that was bad.
That's rough. I mean,
it was rough.
It's easy to get flustered in moments like that when, one, you got a lot of responsibility crashing down on you, but also, oh man, how is this ultimately going to affect another person? Like you're saying, oh, this is going to take food off his plate and everything. Yep. And that's rough.
It is. It's rough, you know, and decisions like that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. Yeah. And to be able to communicate that in a way where, you know, that person needs to understand this has nothing to do with a person. This has nothing to do with anything outside of just the business aspect of it.
Right.
But it's being able to encode that message and transmit it to them so that way they can decode it and understand it that way, the way that it was intended.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, shoot, dude.
Otherwise you'll just be smiling and be like, okay, good luck.
Hey, guess what? what do you and the bum on the street don't have in common? You both don't got a job.
The only difference is the bum's got a tent and you don't.
It gets bad, man. I mean,
right. Oh man. That's tough. The basis with any sense of having a smooth conversation with somebody, you know, having that clear cut communication, is essentially just trying to calm yourself as best as you can.
Right.
And the way that I figured that out is, of course, you just got to take yourself out of, yourself, and really place your focus on the other individual.
Right.
You know, their body language, how it is that they're feeling, their tone of voice. Mm-hmm. You start to focus on all of those things, and then inevitably you start to take, you know, your mind off of yourself.
Right.
Because what happens is if you get flustered, if you're like, oh man, this thing isn't really coming across all that smoothly. Oh crap. Blah, 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 blah. Now I'm looking around the room and blah, 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 blah. And now he thinks that I'm kind of like worried and all that, you know, you start getting into like this whole mental loop, and that can really throw you off. And then that creates the hiccups in the melody of your conversation.
It's almost like our biggest enemy in communication is our ego.
Yeah.
Like that's probably like the one single distraction that we all have as humans is our ego and how that gets in the way of communication.
Yeah. Just how you kind of picture yourself.
Right.
And that if you start messing up, then it's almost as if that is like evidence that goes against that person that you believe that you are.
Yep.
And once you start seeing the reality start clashing with your ego and everything, there's that fight. There's that resistance. Like, oh crap, you know, it's a clash of titans.
Yeah.
You know, and it could throw you off.
It can. And you know, some of the best communicators are the ones that listen the best.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to understand that not every conversation needs to hear our voice. And that's one of the things. And I think that goes back to that whole shut up and listen, you know, kind of anecdote, you know, words to live by type deal that we were speaking about earlier is every conversation doesn't really need to hear our voice. You know, sometimes it is just our ear that needs to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
And we really need to be able to separate that. It's not about what wisdom or how smart we're going to sound, you know, and it goes, you know, back to that whole ego thing where we might be addressing a big group of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to sound smart. So we use all these big old words and we're throwing out, you know, crazy $1 million.
Gargantuan, eloquent, esoteric, syllable. Elusive.
Yeah. big word. Big word.
Thesaurus.
Metamorphosis.
Imbued.
Embryo.
Baby? It's like it reminded me of the whole ink block.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, what do you see in this picture? But that was like a whole verbal equivalent to that.
Oh my goodness. But you know, you're using all these big old words and the audience is probably thinking, dude, what are you talking about? You know, but you're letting your ego get in the way.
Right.
Right. And sometimes you have to understand that. It's not about how eloquent or what type of words you use to get your message across. It's literally just speaking it in a way that the person taking in the information can understand it.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the sign of a communicator. They called Abe Lincoln the great communicator, right? Abe mm-hmm. Lincoln, you know, OG Abe Lincoln, you know, honest Abe. You know, he used to be very, very in tune with a lot of his generals. And he would go to their houses late at night and just go talk to them, go listen to them, find out what struggles they were going through, you know, in the fields of war, and try to really get in touch with what they needed so that way he can support them. And that's why they called him the great communicator, because a lot of the time all he wanted to do was listen, you know, and he had a real good pulse for how people needed to speak to him. And he was able to give him that active ear so that way he can take in that information to help devise his plans on how he was going to help, you know, do what he needed to do, you know, emancipating all the slaves, and all the things that Abe Lincoln did, getting blasted in the head, you know, just everything that he did.
You really just tried to underhand that. Yeah, I was listening.
Man, I got a big headache. Poor Abe Lincoln, man.
Oh, no.
Show's over.
Show's over.
Oh, who turned off the lights?
Oh, man.
I got a splitting headache. I feel so mind blown.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I'm really getting ahead of myself. Don't shoot the messenger.
Somebody please stop this man.
But
oh,
but being able to put yourself in you know, the perspective of the people that you're working with, you know, that's, and that'll lead into one of our future episodes in leadership. But, you know, communication is one of those things that is a fundamental characteristic of great leaders, is being able to have that active ear, being able to listen and not be dismissive, not be so egotistical that you're already thinking about the next line before the person finishes theirs. It's being able to be empathetic, being able to understand what this person is trying to tell you through questions, you know, asking questions that are relevant toward the conversation to get a better understanding.
Yeah.
You know, it's all those things, you know, whether it's at work or with your family or with your friends or wherever, you know, communication is such a huge role, and miscommunication literally can lead to divorce. It leads to you getting fired.
Yeah.
You know, it could lead to you making bad money decisions because there's a huge miscommunication and we don't fully understand.
Right.
You know, but we're so egotistical that we hear something. Oh, yep. I understand. I got it.
Yeah.
We're so quick to say we understand when we don't really have a grasp of what it is.
Right.
So, you know, you have to be able to understand what is being said, and you have to be able to understand what it is that you're saying.
Right.
You know, it's yeah. They go hand in hand.
Making sure that you're using the right language
mm-hmm.
and getting an idea, keeping in mind who it is that you're talking to.
Yeah, because you hear yourself the way you want to be heard.
Right.
They're hearing you the way you actually do hear, you know, are heard.
Right.
And it might be two totally different stories.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's that whole perception. Yep. How you see yourself versus how others see yourself.
Got to look in that mirror, have that conversation.
Yeah. Look in the man in the mirror.
Tired of you, so dumb old words.
Why do you keep following me around?
Why do you keep, man, bro, quit looking in this mirror. Start looking in the toilet because you trash.
How are you going to treat your reflection like this?
I'm going to flush you down the toilet, reflection.
Dang. I feel like trash today. So what I did is I looked into the toilet, saw my reflection, and I flushed the toilet.
That's where it belonged. In the toilet, just like my hopes and dreams.
Oh, man. You know, one person that I really like in terms of their communication, how good they are. I like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Okay, yeah.
He's pretty excellent.
Good. Yeah.
And I like how he breaks down very complex systems, whether that's, you know, retaining to, you know, like the stars and everything, mm-hmm. and astronomy and just like astrophysics, you know, astrophysicists, yeah. right? So him breaking down all those concepts into these manageable, you know, bite-sized chunks of information that you could just easily digest, mm-hmm. and be like, oh, okay, yeah, I got that. It's just, it's so pleasant.
Right, right.
You know, I find that a testament and everything to, you know, his intelligence.
Right.
Because it's great when somebody that goes to show you that somebody has a great understanding of their craft, mm-hmm. Their industry, when they can explain what it is that they're doing to just somebody that.
But they're using a simplistic way of getting to that point.
Yeah.
Sometimes, man, we use big words just to kind of mask what we don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So if you could just refine that down, mm-hmm. into just something that's just like, oh, yeah, you know, A plus B equals C. It's like, okay.
Does it? Right. Does it? A plus B equals AB.
Poor AB. Abe Lincoln. All roads lead back to Abe.
Old on his Abe. May God rest his soul. Man, this poor guy, they put him on the penny. He got no respect. They were like, let's put him on the single most lowest denomination of our currency. It's like, damn, man. Hey, that man, no respect.
You are number one, but you are the number. You are the most forgettable.
You are the one that people give away to children.
You are the one that people pass over in the streets.
You're the one that goes.
Why you are lying there?
It's like, damn, man. Yeah, no.
That's great. Shout out to Abe.
Rest Shout out peace. To Abe, man. He was honest with himself.
Okay,
so communication, everybody, just respect it. Communication is one of those attributes that if you're a really good listener, you are going to be a very great communicator. And, you know, it's just taking some simplistic ideas with you from this podcast, and a lot of it has to circle around and center around being able to listen. Being able to be empathetic and being able to look at things through somebody else's lens. Mastering those things, you know, not putting you first. That's the sign of a great communicator. It's always about the audience. It's never about us. So, you know, take those things in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's important, because if you're an active listener, if you're a good listener, ultimately your friendships and stuff are kind of like drastically improved.
Drastically.
You're gonna have a lot more more happiness in your life. Oh, yeah. And everything. Not just for you, but for other people.
Because you won't, you know, you it's that give and take, man. You won't have that communication. That communication. No. Oh man. Well, I appreciate everybody for listening to this episode of Communication.
Yeah.
So this is gonna lead us to a new segment.
Yeah.
Of the Push Play Podcast.
What is the new segment?
Well, we're finally going to read off an email that we got from our listeners. I mean, we've been getting, you know, emails from you guys, and it goes out to one of our listeners, Fino. Shout out, Fino.
Hey, Fino.
And Fino wants to know, what celebrity do we want to fight the most? I don't know how this is relevant to our podcast, but we're going to entertain it.
Oh, man.
So what celebrity would you want to fight the most, Armani?
Oh, man.
Me personally, I'll fight Zac Efron.
Zac Efron.
I'd beat that boy up so bad.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's,
man.
That's a good one-on-one matchup. You know, toe-to-toe, tail of the tape.
You got a bone to pick?
Nah, I mean, he's a very beautiful man. And I need to end that. I'm a hater, and I can't have beautiful men like that running around for my woman to look at. I'm gonna beat you down.
Hate.
Oh man, it's just take that
High School Musical in my butt. I'm about to show you these hands, and they're about to sing a real good song to you. Oh. I'm about to play the drums with your head, boy.
Bongos.
Yeah, old Zac Efron, man. Man, I seen that boy in Baywatch with The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I'll beat his butt.
Dang.
So yeah, there's one celebrity I'll fight is Zac Efron.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zac Efron.
What about you?
I feel like I'm staring at a roster right now, like in
Damn, we ain't taking everybody down. Are you Liam Neeson? You got a specific set of skills?
Oh man.
I would fight Morgan Freeman.
Poor Morgan.
Yeah, exactly. Poor Morgan. Because after I get done with him, man. Poor Morgan is gonna need a he's gonna need an organ because I'm about to beat that boy liver. Hella kidney punches.
Oh. Hey Morgan, how do you feel about narrating this narrating your whooping?
Well,
when I'm done with
I was
Morgan,
getting punched. It was a beautiful beating.
You imagine? You start beating Morgan Freeman so badly, he starts narrating his own whooping.
Well, you see, he's giving me these rights and lefts. Yes, that's a big punch.
Oh. He would actually be really fun to fight. Yeah. I like that. Oh. Oh, man.
You know what? And I'd fight Abe Lincoln.
You're just taking on.
I'll take out Abe Lincoln, bro.
You're just taking on everyone.
Your stupid beard. You see people that just got stupid faces? I'd beat down Abe Lincoln.
Oh, man. Have you seen pictures of like Abe Lincoln with no beard?
Oh, man. It's just bad.
Yeah.
It's just bad.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, that poor guy.
I'd fight Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
I'd beat her down.
Yeah.
She probably beat me down. I'd give her a hell of a match.
Hey, Rosie, you ready to get canceled twice?
She's like, oh, man.
Here we go. I take you out and Roseanne.
Yikes. I don't want to take none of those ladies out.
No.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, like, Roseanne's already been taken out, so you already got half the job done.
Yeah, pretty much. So
pretty much. Easy much. Target.
I remember back in the day, Celebrity Deathmatch.
Was that like the whole rap battles and everything?
No, it was Celebrity Deathmatch was like this claymation, like, animated series where they would have, like, claymation celebrities fight each other in the ring till death.
Okay.
It's good. I liked it.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is kind of like Celebrity Death. I'd beat the heck out of Kevin Hart. I'd fight Kevin Hart.
I was thinking Kevin Hart.
Yeah. I'd beat him down. He's rich.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I want to be rich too. I'd beat him for all his money.
You said you beat him, you want to be rich too? What is it, like when you beat him up, he's like starts dropping coins?
Yeah.
Like a Sonic character?
Every punch is like
every punch is just the coins just dropping.
Just hella coins just dropping out. I gotta pick them up. Ooh, more coins.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible. that's terrible. Oh my gosh.
So Fino, just so you know, I listed off a whole bunch of celebrities I would fight. So if you know any of them personally, tell them to hit me up at pushplaypodcast@gmail.com if they're trying to catch this fade. You heard me. Hit up Abe Lincoln, Rosie O'Donnell, Kevin Hart. We'll throw in Kevin Spacey, Zac Efron, Tom Hanks.
This is
Robin Williams.
Oh my god! This is the craziest battle royale. What is this, Thunderdome?
This is Thunderdome. Welcome to my dojo. I'll take them all on. Arnold Schwarzenegger, yeah. Sylvester Stallone, Dolph Lundgren. I'll take them all on.
Dang.
I'll take them all on.
Oh my gosh.
Billy Bob Thornton, John Voight. I'll fight them all. They don't want to see me.
All my crew.
Charlie Murphy. I'll beat down Charlie Murphy.
Oh, you know what person I want to fight?
Who?
Rick James.
Rick James?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's Rick James. Rick I think James. He'd beat your butt.
I don't know.
Hey, well, if that, man, if that man's Charlie high Murphy. On cocaine, he ain't going to feel no pain. You saw what he did to Dave Schiller to Eddie Murphy's couch.
You're right. You know, I'm going to have to buy a Unity ring.
Oh, punch that man dead in his face.
Unity.
You know who I wouldn't fight? I wouldn't fight OJ Simpson.
That man is experienced.
Yeah. Oh, man. Right on. Well, guys, that'll conclude our new segment of Mail Time. That ain't what we're going to call it. That's what it is today. So if you guys have any questions or anything that you want us to answer or address in our podcast, feel free to hit us up. pushplaypodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe to us on Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere you guys get your podcasts. We appreciate the love and support. This is gaining momentum, and we would usually shout out everybody that's listening to us, but right now it's getting to a point where the whole world is listening, and we really appreciate it. We just, you know, we hope that we're able to bring you that content, the hilarity, the silliness, the wackiness, but also really great content that we can pull from and learn from. So we appreciate all you push players out there that are tuning in week after week, you know, with these new episodes. And yeah, man, we're excited. Let's keep this thing going.
Yeah, it's really cool. We appreciate you guys and everything. Gonna try to respond back as much as we can and everything with any emails and stuff that we get. We really do appreciate it. It's been a really, really fun journey, and then we're excited to see where it goes.
Man, I can't wait to bring back those rap horns. Bring them back.
No.
I
told you we have the budget. I mean,
well, after I beat down Kevin Hart for those coins, we're gonna have the budget.
I can just hear like the Mario jingle. I just like
there's a hell of loose change on the ground. I'm gonna pick it up. I'm gonna stop it out.
All right, guys, that's enough for this week. We'll catch you next week.
You know, I'm gonna catch him next week for sure. But thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. So with that, push for your dreams, push for your ambitions, but never forget to push play. I'm John.
And I'm Romani.
Peace.
Signing out.
Man, you know who else I'd fight? I'd fight Randy Macho Man Savage. I'd fight Miss Doubtfire. I'd fight Will Smith. I'll fight DJ Jazzy Jeff. I'll fight Jada Pinkett Smith. I'll fight Jada Pinkett Smith's
Red
mom.
Table Talk?
Yeah. I'll fight the Red Table in the Red Table Talk. I'll fight Angelina Jolie. I'll fight Tomb Raider. I'll fight Brad Pitt. I'll fight Benjamin Button when he was a baby. I'll fight Tom Cruise. I'll fight Scientology.
You imagine fight your way up the ladder.
I'm gonna fight the church, the building. Pow, pow, pow. You ain't gonna. Can't see me.
Oh, man.
I'll fight Michael J. Fox. I know he got that shaky hand, but I'll still fight him. I'll fight Christopher Lloyd. I'll fight Boy Meets World. I'll fight Girl Meets World.
Shoot, I am the whole world.
I'll fight Topanga. I'll fight them all. I'll fight Ben Savage.
Ben Stiller?
Yeah, I'll fight Ben Stiller. I'll fight Jerry Stiller, his old man. I'll fight Jerry Seinfeld. I'll fight Larry David. I'll fight David Letterman.
Oh, man.
I'll fight them all, man. They don't want to see me.
I'll fight all the night shows.
I'll fight Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan. I'll fight Carmen Electra. I'll fight Pamela Anderson. I'll fight David Hasselhoff.
man.
I'll fight Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, no.
I'll fight them all. I'll fight them all.
Optimus Prime.
I'll fight the Nutty Professor. I'll fight Janet Jackson. I'll fight all the clumps. I'll fight Coming to America. I'll fight James Earl Jones. I'll fight Mufasa after he gets trampled by the antelope. I'll fight Scar. I'll fight Simba.
Zazu.
I'll beat the hell out of Zazu. I'll stomp out each and every one of the seven dwarfs. I'll kick Bambi in the back of the kneecap.
Oh my god.
I'll beat down Aladdin.
I'll take his carpet too.
I'll sew up that carpet real nice.
Oh my gosh. Oh man.
I'll fight the fox and the hound.
I'll fight all the Disney princesses.
I'll fight every single one of those Disney princesses. Princess Tiana, Princess Jasmine, Princess Toadstool, Bowser. I'll fight them all.
Princess Peach, yeah, Mario. Princess Peach,
Mario.
Luigi.
They don't want to see me. I'm going to fight Optimus Prime. I'll fight Homer Simpson. I'll fight Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill.
I'll fight Jim Carrey. I'll fight Damon Wayans, Marlon Wayans, Sean Wayans, Keenan Ivory Wayans, Kim Wayans, all the Wayans, Major Payne. I'll fight them all. I'll fight Bill Clinton. I'll fight Ross Perot. I'll fight George W. Bush Jr., George W. Bush Sr. I'll fight Barbara Bush. I'm coming after Joe Biden. I'm coming after Obama. I'm coming after the dog. I'm coming after the White House. I'll beat down Gavin Newsom. I'll beat up COVID-19. I'll beat up racism. I'm going after the Minnesota Police Department. I'll beat up The Rock. I'll beat up Ric Flair. I'll beat up Hulk Hogan. I'll beat up Vince McMahon.
I fight all the night shows. Make sure that they all go night-night. I fight John Oliver. I fight Trevor Noah.
I'll fight John Stewart. I'll fight Raven Simone. I'll fight Tia Tamara Mowry. I'll fight Smart Guy. I'll fight the famous Jet Jackson. I'll beat down the Wild Thornberrys.
Not Darwin.
I'll stomp out Tommy from the Rugrats. I'll beat down Chucky.
I get SpongeBob. I get Patrick. I get Sandy. I get Mr. Krabs. Squidward, I'm coming for you. About to make Mon Calamari out you. I'll fight Mermaid Man Barnacle Boy.
I'll fight Britney Spears. I'll fight Jessica Simpson.
I fight all the directors. I fight George Lucas. I fight J.J. Abrams.
I'll fight Michael Bay.
Come catch these explosions, Michael.
I'll beat up E.T.
E.T. go home.
E.T. gonna phone home. At home, gonna need a hospital. I'm gonna beat up the census. I'm gonna fight an ice cream man.
You're just so angry at the world. You're just fighting everyone.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's all I got.